Day two is almost in the books at the Flagstick Open at Equinel Golf Club. And we're going to break it all down. We're going to have some great interviews with the whoever won each division by the end of the week. But let's chat about them. Sitting down with my co-host, as usual, Scott McLeod. Scotty, how do you feel the weekend went?
Pretty good, actually. We had decent weather, which was great to see. I mean, we had a little bit of rain burst, but overall, all the players were really happy with how the weekend went. The number that we talked to, the thanks from lots of the players, they came from all over. And the feedback was really, really good. And then from our perspective, from an operation side, things went pretty smoothly.
There were some hiccups out there.
There were a couple of hiccups there.
I've never played through a group in a tournament, but I did have to play through a group today. A couple guys hitting the wrong ball out there. I haven't seen that since my first ever round of golf, but hey, things happen in golf tournaments.
Yeah, we actually had three wrong ball rulings going on at once, which I have never seen. We've been involved with tournaments for 20 years, and it got amusing for a minute there because you guys were out there. We could hear on the radio. We were getting calls in as far as
what's a radio?
A radio That's old guy talk for radio. We're getting all the talk about these rulings, and then I was getting a text from some other player saying, hey, we don't have an official around, and somebody's played a wrong ball. And I thought, oh, but we just told somebody that there's a wrong ball ruling, and they were sending somebody out there. And then we realized there was three of them going on at the same time, which what are the odds of that? It's unbelievable.
It was something else. It was a good time. I mean, the guy, just for people listening, the guy that actually had his ball played was playing his playing ability test today, which it ended up working out. I did see him in the clubhouse afterwards. They got the ruling. He was able to be successful. He passed his playing ability test today. So congratulations to, I don't know his last name.
Tristan James. Yeah. So he made the eligibility number as far as the exit number, and Alex Van Gulik got the entry number as well. So that worked out quite well.
Nice. We actually somehow are being joined by our rules official here, just out of nowhere. Rich, do you got anything to say about how the day went?
Yeah, I'm just here to suck the life out of this room. So, as rules officials do. No, it's going great out there. We had a little bit of rain, but everything's fantastic. Times are really good, so we appreciate guys getting around the course in a hurry.
There we go.
Thank you, Rich. That was riveting. I love it. Outside of that, as we said, the A flight is still out on the course. The C flight is done. The B flight is done, and some great scores in there. Shout out to one of my close buddies, Sebastian Scott. Somehow goes career with six birdies out there and does. Doesn't join the skins game. He would have came home with who knows how much money, and he trunk slammed after he realized he would have won five skins.
The odd part as well is Eric Lachance had his first hole in one. A first hole in one. Another guy not in the skins had a hole in one on 16. Great player from University of Ottawa. It was nice to see another highlight for the tournament.
Jeez, I would have like invested in these people. You never know. $10 just to pay for them and maybe you're gonna win something.
No, that was pretty neat to see, but like you say, that's why you join in skins games when they have the options, because you just never know what's gonna happen, right?
Especially with par threes and where the pin was today on 16. It was nice, right in that hollow where it came right off the green, right off the ridge in the green, that would have made it pretty easy for a hole in one. I mean, easy for a hole in one is easy to say, but the fact that Eric did that, that's awesome. I'm not going to lie, the par of my life on that hole. I was far left. I had to hit a Phil Mickelson style flop shot, landed right on the ridge and just rolled out. So one of those days, I guess. You're getting a note here. What is that?
Yeah, we're getting breaking news. We had a player come in with a 66.
Oh,
Sterling Mark Swansburg has just posted a 66. I'm not sure where that puts them as far as the field is concerned, but hey, that's a good number any day, right? Any tournament.
And yeah, considering some people did on the front nine yesterday, not mentioning any names, Pat. Outside of that, beautiful weather. I was just saying before we got on here, I think I got a little bit of sunburn out there today.
Yeah, finally, which hard to believe. We didn't even know there was any sun left in this part of Canada at this point. But, that was great. It was good to see. Other aspects of the day, I think, that went well. A lot of players just saying, course is in good shape despite a bunch of rain early this morning. And just overall, as we mentioned in our quick wrap-up podcast on day one, there was, the course fared pretty pretty well considering what the spring was like.
Course fared amazing. I'm not going to lie. I felt amazing out there in terms of how I looked. I was trying to go with my Brooks Koepka look today. I don't know if you picked up on that. Wore my size small shirt, just trying to do a couple push-ups before I got out there, and then the high tops to really set the tone, but just ended up shooting probably 10 worse than him.
Yeah, today. Everybody seemed a little bit more comfortable today, and especially on the first tee, we only ended up with 3 balls in the water. Another one in my group.
My boy Hayden put another one in the water, took the most aggressive line ever on one, and dunked one in
which
the
is
water.
A lot better than yesterday, but we expected more, I guess, because it is early in the year, but overall players played well. We had some opportunities out there, and in the setup, you know, 16 was an example. We had a little bit of a drivable, almost par 4 on 14.
I had 100 in.
You had 100 in?
On a 300-yard hole, I had 100 in. Yep. Got a hold of that.
Tell
one.
Me you hit an iron off nope. the tee.
That was just a nice, scrapey, heely, big old fade to have 100 wow. yards in.
Yeah.
And I was playing through a group, but hey, still made par, whatever.
Again, overall, what was nice to see was players. You know, I was talking to one of the first guys out this morning who came in from Michigan. Loved the tournament. Really appreciated all the different aspects to it from, you know, what we talked about in day one wrap-up with camaraderie, the swag, obviously.
Oh, the swag was unreal.
Yeah, just set up, rules, scoring, just everything. And, you know, that's what we strive to do with the tournament, and we're glad that players see that reflected in how everything turns out.
And if anybody's ever wondering, hey, you know, I don't think I might compete, there's division prizes, 1, 2, and 3 all the way through. Seed flight, third place, you're walking home with a TaylorMade Spyder X putter.
Like, yeah.
That is a steal. Like, it's one of the best run tournaments. Obviously, I might be biased. I'm kind of associated with Flagstick and
sure.
and you as well, but I've never been in a better tournament and better, great setup, rules officials when you needed them, even though there was 6 out there going with yeah. 3 different ball rulings, but just a great tournament all around, great conditions, great course, and can't thank the staff at Equinel Golf Club. Great food, too. Just spent the last couple hours in the restaurant, and great service, great food. Drinks are good. Atmosphere's good. And we got the PGA Championship on as well, which we're going to break down next week at some point as well.
Yeah, I mean, nothing would happen, obviously, without the players, the support of a club like Equinel, the guys from TaylorMade, Adidas, and the Blank Group as well. That makes a big difference helping this tournament be what it is. And it makes it just that much better for the players to, you know, come back and have those nice opportunities to get those nice gifts when they come to the tournament.
Probably a great time to just sit down with the players right now. I'm going to hand it over to you, Scotty. You're going to go out and get interviews with our C flight champion, our B flight champion, our 8 flight champion, and our overall champion, assuming those are different. They could be. You never know.
You never know.
You never know. And thanks everybody for coming out, and we'll see you next year at Equinel Golf Club.
All right, welcome to the podcast. Our C Division winner for the 2019 Flagstick Open Amateur Championship, presented by TaylorMade Golf and Adidas Golf Canada, Sean Botter. Congratulations, first off.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
36-hole tournament early in the year. How did you play?
I played pretty good, fairing that I didn't have a lot of rounds in at the beginning. I played a couple times before coming out here and teeing it up, and was a little weary of what kind of game I was gonna bring, but surprisingly enough, I brought a game good enough to score pretty well.
What sort of prompted you, first off, to play in the tournament? I know it is early in the year, so a lot of people, you know, were sort of hesitant about playing, mm-hmm. but, you know, you decided to throw your hat in the ring.
I like the event. I played in it a few years ago when it had C Flight before. Obviously, my game's not strong enough for the field that competes in this tournament. It's a great tournament for A class and, you know, low players. So what triggered me to play was my nephew Brandon really wanted to caddy for me, wanted me to play in the event. So I thought it'd be a fun weekend to just walk the course with him and have a blast. And to be honest, without him, I would not have scored as well as I did. That kid can read putts.
Well, that always helps, I guess, for sure.
Sure.
I guess depending on your putting stroke. And now, after day one, you were 79, I guess, day one. So you're 2 back. Thought process going into today?
Same as it was yesterday. Me and my caddy, Brandon, we talked about what we were going to do, and that was just take one shot at a time, make pars, and try not to make a big number. Unfortunately, I did make one big number. got into the hazard, and things happened, but he calmed me down. Yeah. Very well,
yeah.
And we went and birdied 10 and 11 right off the gate. So
and that was on the front side, or ending your front side, I guess,
hole eight.
Yep. So
stewed a little bit on eight, and we got through nine with a bogey, and then we're like, okay, let's regroup and take fresh.
Did you have any idea kind of where you were in relationship to the other players with you? Or
Yeah, I kind of had an idea that at the time before eight that I was pretty good situated. I think I was a few strokes ahead of them. But was just trying to play my own game. After that, I kind of like maybe put too much emphasis on where I was and how they were playing, and started to kind of just play my ball, and whatever happened, and things just started to kind of go black. And I went birdie, then just a bunch of pars and a bogey in there, and that's what happened.
That was good enough. Can you recall the last time you won a tournament, maybe? Or a division in a tournament?
Aside from back in my junior club championship days at Bell Park in Kingston, this would be the first.
Okay, well, congratulations on that. So, yeah. I mean, what's it mean to you? I mean, you know, there are, you know, some good players in the field, as you said, but, you know, what significance is it for you to win a division at this tournament?
I mean, it's pretty big. It's up there. I mean, it's obviously fun to come out and play, but to kind of bring a game good enough to kind of compete with the other competitors. Like, I know the guys that I play with, they were playing really well, and just a few shots here and there could have been the difference for them as well. So, I mean, it was a fun day. Always good to meet new people and play with guys like that. So, yeah, I had a good time, and yeah.
Overall impressions of the tournament. Not everybody has been to play this tournament, so, you know, as we have listeners out there that maybe are considering playing the tournament in years ahead, but what are the certain things maybe about the tournament that you like, be it the registration stuff, the course, you tell us.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good. I mean, this tournament is by far the best tournament I play in.
And you're not biased because your brother happens to be the publisher at Flash to Golf Magazine.
I'm trying to approach this from a non-biased
All right, that sounds good.
But yeah, I mean, you pay your entry fee. It's like $190, $200.
Yeah.
You get two rounds of golf at one of the premier public golf courses in Ottawa. You get a steak dinner that was really delicious. I was so hungry after my round yesterday. And besides that, you get a great prize table.
Yep.
And the registration is ridiculous. I mean, it's worth just to play the event just to get the registration prizes. I mean, it's who does that?
So that obviously means you're going to be back next year to defend your title, or maybe improve your index a little bit better.
I mean, I think it'd be good to move up and play B class and try and compete with a higher level of golfer. It's always good to challenge yourself, and that's why, you know, part of the reason I play in the tournament is I don't play a lot of tournament golf. I play like intersectionals, stuff like that if I can, but for the most part, you don't really get a chance to play a premier event like an amateur event like this that's so well run and it's got such a field in it. I mean, it's really surprising to win, I'll be honest.
Perfect. Well, congratulations. I hope you enjoy your prizes, and we hope to see you back here next year.
Thanks
for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate it.
All right, so we're here now with our B flight winner for Flagstick Open Amateur Championship here at Equinel Golf, Jonah O'Connor. Congratulations.
Thank you.
76-72, is that what I see on the board?
Yeah, 76-72 was a pretty good weekend.
For you, I mean, you play at the Renfrew Golf Club. What's your kind of background, your tournament experience?
I've played a lot of like local tournaments. I've been to Equinel quite a bit, so I was pretty familiar with the course. Just day one, couldn't get the putter going, so 76 was about as bad as I could have been.
Had you played a lot of golf this year or not yet?
I think this was my ninth round this year.
Okay, so you're getting going like a lot of other people. What was kind of your strengths out in that day one round? Was there anything that was good about it, 76?
Honestly, hitting greens and driver was just money all weekend. Couldn't miss a fairway, and irons were just middle of the green, 25 feet, and two putt, maybe one putt, mid. Tossing a couple threes.
Sounds like Brooks Koepka, the PGA, yeah. Right? 72 today, obviously a quality round. What went well?
Again, driver was right down the middle, so it helped out having a lot of flip wedges into greens and at least being able to attack the flag once in a while. But mainly it came down to hitting a couple tight iron shots between A-man corner, 7, 8, 9. made birdie on 7, made birdie on 9 to get back to even, and kind of just gave me a little bit of confidence going into the back.
Now, you had a caddy out there. How they help out or hurt?
Yeah, he was really good this weekend. He was actually the main reason why I birdied hole 7.
Nice.
I had a 7-iron. I thought that was going to be the club, and
okay.
He told me to club down to an 8. And
well, you can give him a shout-out. You know, well, make sure you name him.
Colin Schwartz, really good guy, awesome caddy. Him and I play together all the time at the Renfrew Golf Club, and he made the right call on the 8-iron, hit it to 5 feet, and knocked it home.
Nice. How long have you been a member at Renfrew?
I've been a member there for almost 7 years.
Okay. Grew up playing a lot of junior golf?
No, I actually started when I was 16.
Okay.
So nice. Kind of getting into it a little bit more as I got a little bit older and started playing a lot more competitive golf whenever I started.
So tournament-wise, what have you won, if anything, as far as divisions or tournaments or...
I've won 4 men's club championships.
Nice.
I've been to the Ontario Provincials down in Windsor for the juniors, and just been kind of playing in city and districts and stuff like that around here.
Perfect. Now, what's it mean to you? I mean, obviously, your first time playing this tournament. We've got a very strong field. We had almost 100 players here, pretty quality. Obviously, if you look at, you know, the division, you're a strong player, but you end up in B flight, right?
Yeah, very strong field. I was pretty surprised whenever there was, like, 50 golfers ahead of me. Whenever I'm sitting at a 3 handicap, I was like, oh, all right. Definitely a super strong field, and was a little surprised to be in B flight, but that's the way it is, right? You have to flight it out perfectly.
Yeah, perfectly. And for next year, should we expect to see you back to defend your title?
For sure. It was an awesome RAN tournament. Everything ran so smooth. People here are great, and definitely recommend coming here.
Perfect. Great. We look forward to seeing you back here next year, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're here with our A Division winner for this year's Flagstick Open Amateur Championship presented by TaylorMade Golf and Adidas Golf Canada. Sterling Swansburg, I know it probably wasn't the final result that you wanted, but you did manage to shoot 66 in the closing round here today at Equinel, which was a great finish, and work your way into a playoff. Why don't you give us some thoughts on your day?
Probably wasn't really expecting to be into a playoff, so really happy with the result. Very early in the season. A lot of people are feeling the pain with the wet, and I don't think a lot of people played a lot of golf. I'm happy with it, even though I don't come out on top.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it.
Why don't you tell us a little history about your competitive play? Now, you play, obviously, military golf. You've accomplished a fair bit.
Yep.
Why don't you give us a little bit of background on that?
I've been in the service since 2001, about to retire in 4 weeks.
Very nice. Congratulations.
I've played on several world teams representing the Canadian Forces all over the world, and been fortunate enough to be a silver medalist at the world level, and it's a great program we have and a lot of backing behind it, and it's fun. It keeps you competitive at a very high level.
And how does it rate with playing a tournament like this? I mean, you come down here, you know, you're a returning player. We really appreciate you coming down, and several of your compatriots came down with you. But what's the experience like for you to come and play this event?
Well, I find, especially in the Ontario and the Quebec region, we have some fantastic amateur golf players. Amazing. Playing and having that experience at a world level, playing against top people all over the world, putting your game up against the best. We also have the best around here. We really do. You know, we've seen it in a Noah Steele and some really good young and up and coming golfers that I think we'll probably maybe watch a little bit on TV in years to come.
Well, you might have faced one of those today. Like I said, 66. Why don't we first get to that? What did you do well today to shoot that score out here?
It was a little bit scratchy through the first three holes, but on the first par five with a birdie, and then a solid par, and then a tap-in eagle on the sixth, and cap off the front nine with a birdie finish. So it's a really nice when you can shoot a 4-under through 9.
Now, you were done fairly early, sitting there at 2-under on the patio behind the clubhouse. Did you have any idea that it might have a chance to get to a playoff, or what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I know what it's like to try and hold a lead after shooting a great round of 68, and hats off to Peter. Really great playing. It's really tough to back that up to even come out and shoot an even par. So, yeah, I kind of just kept the clubs there and enjoyed a cold beverage with my friends, and you never know what's going to break out.
Now take us through the playoff a little bit. The first hole kind of had a little bit of drama, probably a little bit more than you wanted to see. What were your thoughts on that as you two made it down the par 5-18th hole here at Equino?
Yeah, hit a good tee shot, kind of what I wanted to do. Maybe a little closer comfort, but... And I hit a good second shot and kind of put myself in position. You know, I wasn't, you know, drilling the whole birdie, and kind of ran out on the birdie putt, and a fairly simple par putt. And I've been kind of knocking them in all day and kind of just pushed it.
When Peter hit the ball in the water, were you just thinking of playing any way differently than you were? Or
not at all.
Not at all.
No,
okay.
I had the play set in my head. I executed the tee shot. I was in position. I'm going for it. And let's just go.
All right. Same thing, too. When you came down, obviously went to a second playoff hole. Everybody on the patio had almost basically written the event off. They weren't sure what was going to happen. They thought you maybe had it in hand, but you had to go back down there for that second playoff hole. Same game plan as you came back down there?
Yeah, sure. I didn't hit the second tee shot as good and had to come out of the bunker and lay it up. But I was happy with the layup shot and just not a very good third. And... with Peter hitting it on the green in two, pretty much solidified it from there. He'd have to have an epic meltdown, and I just couldn't see that happening.
Now, with you retiring in 4 weeks, what are we expecting from you as far as the tournament schedule? Are you going to play a lot more golf, a lot more competitive golf?
Yeah, we're going to have a pretty full schedule this year. I'll play the Quebec Mid and hope to qualify and get on to the Canadian National, and I'm either going to play the Quebec Am or the Ontario Am. And see if I cannot qualify to get onto the National and go home to my hometown.
Where's that?
Halifax.
Oh, perfect. That would be nice for you to get back and do that.
Just a good reason to go home and visit everybody and play some golf while we're at it.
Awesome. Well, we're glad you're back here and playing, and congratulations again on winning the A Division. We look forward to you coming back and taking another shot at the trophy.
100%. I'll be here.
All right, we are here with our 2019 Flagstick Open Amateur Champion, Peter Beneteau. We had you on the podcast yesterday after being the first round leader, but now you got to the ultimate spot as the winner of the tournament. How's it feel?
Feels unbelievable. I knew I was playing pretty well coming in, but I did not really think I had a chance to win. The field is always so good here, and then as I kind of got started yesterday with the front nine at 33, I kind of realized, you know, this could be my time, and it was a struggle today. There was not any part in the round today where I felt comfortable. I was really fighting my swing all day, but I did what I needed to do to get the win. So,
yeah, I mean, at 4-under yesterday, you had a 3-stroke lead coming into today. Certainly, there was a lot of players behind you, and you were well aware of that. How did the round go early on, and how much separation, I guess, did you see with the guys that you were playing with?
Yeah, so early on, I made a couple good pars the first few holes, and then it was kind of same with the other guys I was playing with. And the number four, I hit a good drive and then had about a 4-iron into the par five and just hit a flare into the water out of nowhere. It was probably the worst shot I hit all week, and made a pretty good six, honestly. And then after that, I kind of battled a little bit and then just kind of started fighting the swing middle of the front nine. I hit a loose iron on number seven, made bogey there. I managed to make good pars on 8 and 9, pretty long birdie putts there, and my speed was pretty good all day long, so that helped me quite a bit. But I saw the two guys in my group were struggling, kind of shooting around the same as I was, so I was well aware I was a few ahead of them, but I really had no idea where I stood. I knew Ryan was in front of me, and I knew he can go low, and I saw he was teeing off first most holes, so I knew I had to try to keep the pedal down and not give up any more shots.
Were you surprised in any way when you got to the scoring table and you turned in your score? Did you think maybe that you had given it all up?
I thought I had a good chance to win it outright. There was a back of my mind, I thought maybe playoff, but I don't know. The way the course was set up, I didn't see a 66 out there today. That's for sure. I maybe saw a 69 or a 70, but a 66. It was an unbelievable score today. So my goal was to finish, shoot even par today, to finish at four, because I knew then someone would have had to shoot 66, or the kind of guys behind me would have to shoot pretty low. But two over was pretty good, considering how bad I struck the ball today. And when I got in to find out it was a playoff, I was, you know, I was relieved, but at the same time, immediately stressed again, because I had to go back out and hit some more shots. So.
Well, obviously, in the playoff, it was a little bit more dramatic than maybe you would have liked. Mm-hmm. You came down the first playoff hole and rinsed a ball the second shot into the green. What were you kind of thinking when that was happening?
Well, I was kind of blocking it all day with the three wood, so I kind of aimed it up to the right side of the green, and tried to just hit a hard cut and miss it to the right, and just got quick and just straight snap hooked it, basically, and right, I hit it right off the toe, and as soon as I made contact, I knew it was diving low left, and that was right after we thought Mark's tee shot was in the water. It looked like it was, but he ended up about a couple feet short, so to basically for me to think, oh, I've got the upper hand, to wow, I've just thrown away this tournament, was pretty hard to swallow. But I hit one of the better pitch shots I've ever hit in my golfing career. That was a really tough pitch, and to give myself even a reasonable par look was something else, and it was tough. Felt bad for Mark to kind of whack it around a little bit there around the green, but I thought I had made that par putt and was going to put a little pressure on him, as I put a really good stroke on that one. But all in all, we both made six, so that's all that matters. We had to play another hole.
You had your hat off there pretty early. Everybody in the patio was looking. They kind of thought, oh no, he's giving this away. Hats off. It's all over, but not so much, right?
No, and it was just outside that comfortable range for him, and I've certainly missed my fair share of that length over my career. There's no doubt about that. Oh, absolutely. And the greens are they're slick, and if you didn't have the speed right on them, they were going to die, and they were going to miss low, and that was his one there. He just didn't quite have the speed for the line he chose, and he missed it low, so it was a tough one to watch, but gave me new life.
Yeah, so you had to come back down on 18 again and replay the hole. Did you have any thoughts about a different strategy the second time around?
Confidence was way up the second time around. I had completely given new life, and I hit just a ghastly drive the first time. Hit it right off the heel and low screamer. It was probably about 60 yards short of my normal length, and Mark hit a pretty good drive, but he caught the bunker, and I knew if I just hit a good solid one past the bunker, because I knew I've got a little bit of distance over him, I was going to have a 4 or 5 iron in, and I just hit one of the better drives I've ever hit and pounded over the bunkers and had 225-ish to the hole, and I just said, we're going to aim this right and play a draw to the right side of the green, and I hit really flush 5 iron and had a 35-footer for eagle, and my speed was really good, so I knew I was going to two-putt that one at worst, so put a lot of pressure on him.
So you made a nice birdie there, captured the win. What were kind of your first thoughts running through your brain when that went in the hole and you knew you were the champion?
Relief, 100% relief. Like I will say, this was one of the longest rounds of golf and days of golf I've ever experienced. Just the struggle all day long, just really didn't have my swing. And just compared to yesterday, because yesterday I didn't miss a single shot, I felt like I was just in complete command all day. And to be completely flipped today and have no idea what's going on, and it was really, I've never experienced that before, that opposite ends the extreme, but it was good to battle, and I clearly did what I had to do to win, so it was good to see. I've never had experience like that before.
Now, you are an experienced golfer, though. You went down to the States for a little bit on a college scholarship and then came back to Canada. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on your play as far as what your tournament history is?
Yeah, so when I was finishing up my junior years, I decided to go down to U.S. and play some college golf, and those 2 years were an awesome experience. Got to play some unbelievable courses down in the south, but the whole atmosphere and everything just wasn't for me. I did not play my best golf for a couple seasons there. I just was not anywhere near the game I'm used to shooting, and it was a tough decision, but I decided to pull out halfway through and take a year to reevaluate, and at St. Lawrence College now, and the golf team's doing really well. We have a big tournament coming up at the end of the month, and last summer at the start of the year, I kind of started finding things with my game, and kind of all started with a 69 at Ontario Amateur Qualifier at Wildfire Golf Club, which was a really difficult course, and I'd never seen it, and I went out and made 7 birdies, and that was... Wow. I think that kind of spiked my game, and I've kind of realized, you know, I've learned what I have to do to shoot low. You don't have to be perfect, and I've kind of learned what it takes to shoot some good rounds. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. It's going to be a good one.
No, you did well at St. Lawrence, obviously in the national championship. You played well there, had some good success. How much eligibility do you have left?
I know I have one more year, but okay. I think it's my last. This could be my last year. I'm not sure if they do five or not. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but I have at least one more year, and we'll get our team's looking really solid for next year. My brother's going to be there as well, and he came T6 today overall, fifth in the A flight. So he's starting to find his game after a rough season last year with some injuries. So I'm looking forward to the rest, see what the season brings. And for school golf too, we're looking like we're going to have a good chance. And it's at home. I just had our home course this year.
Yeah, you're getting to host the Ontario Championship. It's going to be at Cataraqui, right across the street from St. Lawrence. So that gives you a little bit of an advantage as well.
And I never used to be a fan of that course. I never really learned how to play it, but over the years I've started to figure it out, and I've had some really good rounds in practice there, and some pretty good tournament rounds there as well. So it's good. And we've got some local guys on our team who know how to shoot low there, so I think we have a good chance to win OCAAs this year.
One last thing, and we'll let you go here. What's it mean to you to win this championship? There's been a lot of great players that have won this tournament, one from Kingston, for example.
Yep.
What's it mean to you to put your name on that trophy?
Well, I've played in this one every year since it started, except for one where I missed it due to some other confliction. But just seeing the guys with the scores they shoot and what it takes to win this tournament and to throw my name on there, and it's something else. One of the biggest wins I've ever had, for sure. And to put my game to the test against one of the better fields I've ever played against. And then to really have not even close to my A game today and still pull out a win really gives me a lot of confidence, as opposed to I would have said that either way if I had shot another 68, but...
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, and we really congratulate you again on this victory. A great way to win. I know it was a tough day, but you persevered, and you got your name on that trophy, and we look forward to having you back as a defending champion.
Awesome. Thank you, Scott. Much appreciated.